I'd like to introduce to you today's speaker, Her Grace Srimati Mataji. She has been in ISKCON for more than 25 years. From 1980 to 2002, she stayed at Mayapur, and her major service was to the distribution of the Holy Name. She has a lot of experience in the field, and while she is here in our temple for the next 1 week, we should make maximum use of her expertise. At present, she lives in Vrindavan and under the shelter of His Grace Gopi Pranadhana Prabhu, who is the director of BBT and Bhagavatam Academy at Govardhan, and also His Grace Devamrut Prabhu, president of Krishna Balaram Temple, Vrindavan. Once a year, for 2-3 months, she goes to Mayapur and gives lectures on Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, and also the glories of the Holy Name. She is with us today, and the topic making friends with the Holy Name. So let us all welcome Her Grace Srimati Mataji to the temple by loudly chanting Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo.
Thank you so much for coming, sharing some time with us. I don't know you. I'm not from Chapatik Temple, and I'm not the kind of person that can come in and just give a class. It's important to me that I know something about the people I'm dealing with. I'm a people person. So I'm going to begin this session by asking you a series of questions, quite a lot of questions, so you're going to have to be a little patient with me. But I'm sure that by the end of the session we'll have a clearer idea of who we are and what we're really looking for. So the first question that I would like to ask, can we imagine a world without friends? Can we imagine that? Can we think of some words to describe what such a world would be like? I'd like someone to come out and write these down for us as we go. Is anyone that feels comfortable to come out? Please do. Nice big writing and clear. Thanks. So let's think of some words to describe a world in which there are no friends. What are some words that we can think of to describe this? Lonely. Okay, thank you. Any other descriptions? Make it very, very big, huh? So everybody can read. No, really, really, really big. Can everyone read this? Can you see? Okay, fine. What else? How else would we find such a world? Yes, isolated. Okay. Yes. Very quiet. Friends are noisy people, are they? Yes. Excuse me? Depressed. Yes. That's a nice one. We missed one here. We had quiet. A little bigger. We have to make it about this big. Okay. Yes. Frustrating. Boring. Okay. We're warming up. Any other words that we can think of to describe such a world? Self-centered. Anything else? Okay. Let's move on to our next. I'm sorry? Nobody to depend on. This is a very important point. Thank you. Nobody to depend on. Yes? No one? No one to criticize us or to show us our weaknesses. Any other points? There's some very nice points here. Okay, let's move on. Sorry? False ego would be very prominent. Or show our weaknesses. Aha, thank you. That's a nice one. No one to share our feelings with. There was, what was that one that we've missed? There was, excuse me? Share our feelings? There was, I can't remember what it was. No one to encourage us? No one to support us, yes. So from these answers, we're getting some idea of the qualities that we would look for in a good friend. Would you like to move over to the next board now? And we'll have a little bit of a think about the qualities that we would want to have in a good friend, or perhaps our best friend. What kind of qualities were we looking for? Peace? Peace, okay. Peace of mind, please write it. A good listener. Very nice one. Yes. There at the time of need. These are very nice. Hare Krishna. Understanding. Trustworthy. Are we going too fast for you? Would you like to read the ones that we have so far, and then we'll see ones we've missed? Two others that we've missed? Understanding and? Excuse me? Loyal, yes. Important thing. Any other qualities that we look for in a good friend? Confidential, someone we can be confidential with. This is very important. What else? Honesty. Please. Affectionate, of course. Loving friend. Very important. What was that? Faithful, I think, would maybe be the same as loyal. Yeah? Around about the same. Okay, fine. Any more?
Caring.
Excuse me?
Polite.
Not rough in their dealings with us, huh? Someone who's polite in their dealings with us. Anything else? Okay. Let's move on to the next question. Now, this one you're going to have to be very honest with yourselves. Have you ever lost a very good friend because you treated her badly? How many of us have lost a very good friend because we haven't dealt with her properly? Let's be honest. Have we? Some of us have. Most of us haven't. Very good, Hare Krishna. Okay, so those that have raised their hands and they have that experience of losing a good friend because they've treated them badly, how did you feel about that? Would you like to tell us how you felt about that? One minute, we'll just give you a mic.
Yeah, I lost my good friend. What you say, we say in Krishna conscious way, that was a so-called good friend for me. So that I lost because of our Krishna consciousness, and you have to choose, or you have to reject the things. Those are not helping in our Krishna consciousness. That's why I lost my good friend.
Okay, so how did you feel about that?
Of course, I am more in. I'm more serious in Krishna consciousness because of that. But then I feel in my heart of heart that in any way I could make her also Krishna conscious, but it couldn't work out.
Any lesson that you learned from that experience?
The lesson is, of course it was good, and it was the will of my Guru Maharaj and Krishna also, that I should get out of that association of my so-called good friend.
Okay. There are a few people, other people that put their hand up. Would you like to make some comment of how you felt about that experience? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, I had a very, very good friend. She's my best friend. She still calls me and tells other people that she's my best friend, she's like my sister. But after coming to Krishna consciousness, I don't feel that she's my best friend. Because I tried my level best to bring her in Krishna consciousness, but she didn't come. But I have to keep her relationship very artificially with her, mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. Whenever some material things are there, so I just invite her. And because my family know, they say, no, you can't neglect her like this and you can't mm-hmm. break your relationship. She's your best friend. And so I have to maintain the artificial relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not coming from within that relationship what it was before coming to Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So this was my experience.
And what is your lesson from that?
I think I should be away from her, because if I come to her association, so I may get divert. Mm-hmm. So I want to be away from her. So maintain the same way throughout my life.
Mm-hmm. That way. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So from the two comments that we've heard, we can understand that it's not so easy to tell who is a good friend. Sometimes our judgment is not always correct. Let's go on to the next question. Have you ever thought of Krishna as your best friend? Please sit down. Please sit. Thank you. Any of us ever thought of Krishna as our best friend? Yes? Yes? So few. We're in Krishna consciousness. Are we tired? We can't put our hand up? Or so most of us have experienced Krishna as a good friend. And any ideas why it would be a good idea to develop a loving relationship with Krishna? Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to develop a very firm and loving relationship with Krishna? Please use the mic. Thank you.
Because he is a real friend, mm-hmm. benefactor. Mm-hmm. He's always dependable, loving. All those qualities are with him.
So all those qualities are in him. Krishna. So. Very wonderful. Thank you for that. Anyone else like to comment on why it would be a good idea? Please hand the mic back.
Hare Krishna. What I feel is, and from my experiences, whenever there is a prayer which is really heartfelt, I've seen it has been answered by Krishna. And sometimes, you know, when some prayers are not answered, in the long run, I realize it was for my good that Krishna did not answer those prayers. So he's the best friend whom you can go for any guidance, anything, you know, anything. I mean, anytime I'm upset or anything, you know, you can pour out your heart to him. Just talk to him like a friend. You're assured you'll get some answer, some as soon or far, whenever, but you'll get your answer, definitely for it.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to share their comments? Oh, thank you, Mataji.
He is the best guy. He's the only person who can help you to achieve the goal of life. If you are dependent on him, you're sure to achieve the goal of life.
Thank you very much. So what I'd like to do now is to have a look at what Krishna himself says about this. So we have a little handout, perhaps a few of the younger Matajis could help us out with that. Thanks very much. Thanks. So Simanji Mataji, who would you recommend to read this for us? Wait till everyone has got the sheet.
Nasti buddhir yuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavana na cha bhavayata shantirasha shantasya krutu sukham
One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Purport. Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the 5th chapter, 529, that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the good results of sacrifice and penance, that he is the proprietor of all universal manifestation, and that he is the real friend of all living entities, then only one can have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a sturdy mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. However much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 266.
So here Krishna is explaining to us that without a relationship with him, there will always be distress, there will be no peace. Without peace, how can there be happiness? So it sounds like a very good idea to have a relationship with him. Now it's said, and we believe it, it's said in the Shastra, that Krishna and his holy name are non-different. How many of us have tried to develop a loving relationship with the holy name? How many of us have tried to do that? Trying? Very good. Struggling? Join the club. Okay. How many of us are satisfied with the present nature of our relationship with him and our dealings with him? How many of us are satisfied with that? I guess that's why we're here today, isn't it? And how many of us would very much like to develop a deep and loving relationship with him? Okay. So this is what we're going to start to talk about today. Now, your very wonderful Guru Maharaj, he is very, very often stressing the importance of the third verse of Shikshastika. Isn't it true? Always he's doing that. Now, this next question, I'm going to give you 2 long minutes to think about the answer, because it's a very important question. I want you to think, why is my Guru Maharaj always stressing this verse? Don't answer me now. I'm going to give you 2 very long minutes to think about this, and then we'll discuss, okay? You may like to write some notes so that it's very clear for you. One more minute. Really think seriously. You're his disciple. It's something he is always saying, It's something you're always quoting. Why does he say it and why do you quote it? What is the importance of it? Okay, time's up. Who would like to share with us their understanding of why your Guru Maharaj actually refers to this verse so often? Who would like to offer a suggestion for this? Must be somebody, please. Who would like to try it? Please, wait for the mic. Thank you for being so brave.
I just give my understanding.
Thank you.
That... I feel the main reason he's telling that again, the Trinadapi Sunichena, Taroriva Saishuna, Amanina Manada, Kirtaniya Sadahari. That the most important thing in our life is to always chant the holy name. And that is the reason to, what is the, how can you do that? This is the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice. Thank you. Anyone like to add to that? Please bring the mic over here.
Hello. According to me, peace of mind is very important. To achieve the peace of mind, constantly taking the name of the Lord would help. That is why he is stressing on this verse.
Okay. Anyone else? Please try. Mm-hmm.
We have to chant the holy name offenselessly. And to chant the offenselessly, we have to develop these qualities, humility, tolerance, and we should not expect respect from others, and we should give up false prestige, everything. So he always stresses on this holy name, and it has all the Vaishnava qualities. We have to develop those Vaishnava qualities also.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to concentrate always on this.
Thank you.
Holy name.
Please try. Very nice answer.
A false ego is very detrimental in spiritual advancement. And by paying respects to everyone who is a part of Krishna, we make ourselves humble and we reduce our ego. And therefore we are able to chant the holy name. The more ego we have, the less we will be able to chant properly.
Thank you very much. Very good ideas. Tulsi?
Humility is pleasing to the Lord. And also to the others. There is a saying that gate to the Lord's palace is very low. If you have to enter in there, you have to be extremely humble. And secondly, when you are humble, you can accept your mistakes. When you make mistakes, you can accept it. If you are not humble, you cannot take anything that is told to you. If any correction is done, you cannot accept it. Only when you are humble, you can accept it. And then you can improve yourself. You know, you can make more spiritual advancement.
Very nice, thank you. You wanted to say something, Mataji?
Lord, as Mataji was said, Lord will be pleased if you are humble when you are chanting the holy name. When you are chanting the holy name without pride, so Lord is there. He will listen to our prayers. Because we are calling out Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that time we have to be very humble. Because if we are proud, so Krishna will not reciprocate our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So that and in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu time, all the associate, they were all humble, humility, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur. They were all very, very humble. So we have to take their example. Humility is very important while chanting the holy name.
Thank you very much. Some very wonderful ideas are coming forth. Anyone else like to say something? Please do.
Krishna. I would just like to share my experience.
Can't hear you. A little closer, I think, to the mouth.
It's like, for me, it's been like, so before coming to Krishna consciousness, it was like, you know, you had such close relationship with many of your friends. And, you know, you always used to get more of, you know, attention from them. But now what has happened is like, when you start living a Krishna conscious lifestyle, they just don't like what you're doing. They just, you know, in fact, they hate you for what you're doing. Now, if we want that same respect from them and the same attention, then it's not possible for us to continue chanting the holy names. So it's like you have to just give up, you know. So you have to be humble, you know. If they respect you, they don't respect you, you have to just go.
Okay.
So it's like humility, you know. Just give respect to them and don't expect anything from the opposite.
Okay, thank you very much. So we've had some heartfelt realizations shared. I'd like to share a little bit of a different perspective this afternoon, more of a science of bhakti perspective. So here we have the journey back home, the steps that we have to take. First one is Shraddha, faith. It is faith that brings us to the movement. Second step, this is where we are at the moment, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and Natha Nivritti. These three go together. Sadhu Sangha, saintly association. We're keeping association, making friends with people who also want to be Krishna conscious. Makes life a lot easier. Bhajana Kriya means we've taken initiation or are intending to take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. And in the association of devotees, trying to give up the rubbish, the difficult, the things in the heart that are not so favorable, trying to give those up, we are practicing the chanting of the holy name. So this is actually where we are right now. We're at Bhajana Kriya, the practice of chanting the holy name. We're not perfect. We're trying. We have good days and bad days, don't we? So we're trying. And we're doing that. We're taking help and support from the sadhus around us. Also, the sadhus in our disciplic succession, we pray to them. We take their shelter in this way. And a very important thing in relation to this is that we're trying to give up those things in the heart that are causing us difficulties in our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, the next step is called Nistha. Nistha means very, very firm faith. By this stage, most of the dirt in the heart is gone. And so with that purity of heart, purity is the force, Prabhupada would say. So it's a lot easier for us to be Krishna conscious, to think Krishna consciously, to react to difficulties Krishna consciously. It's said that at Nistha, Maya Devi can hold a gun at your chest, fire point blank, and you won't blink. Can you imagine it? Now the smallest little difficulties are there. So much disturbance. Huh? It's natural for our position, but our next step is Nistha. After that, Ruchi, we attain some little taste for the chanting of the holy name. Doesn't even matter. We're in Mayapur doing a wonderful kirtan. After Guru Puja, suddenly the pujaris go by with a big tray of hot, wonderfully smelling pizza. I've seen this personally, and so many people go, and the kirtan becomes secondary. They're out the door with their 30 rupees, they buy their pizza, and they're very happily talking with their friends, taking their pizza. So at Ruchi, this is not the case. Ruchi is the highest taste. The chanting of the name is the most predominant thing. That's what we really want. Nothing else is really important to us at this stage. A shakti, attachment. We're so attached to Krishna. That doesn't mean we're not attached to other things, but it means we're attached to them in relation to Krishna. Bhava, at this stage, it's the beginning stages of love, true love, pure love for Krishna. It's just like a seed. Just like a seed is there. And then, of course, prem, which is what we're all aspiring for, is when the heart fully blossoms, the lotus of the heart fully blossoms, and we're madly in love with Krishna. So this section here, the step from Sadhu Sangha where we are, Bhajana Kriya and Athanavritti to Nishta, this area is probably the most frustrating and dangerous part of our journey back home. These waters, say there's an ocean between these two, these waters are full of crocodiles, alligators, tamingala fish. So many things are there to create disturbance. So Mahaprabhu suggests that we deal with this by following the verse of Sikshastika, verse number 3. Now there are three ways, there are many ways, but we'll look at three ways that we could make this journey from Bhajana Kriya where we are to Nishta. First one, we can chant very unconsciously, very mechanically, have no real plan, not make no real endeavor. Just we go along. I can guarantee that if you continue to chant like that, one of three things will happen. Remember, we're swimming across an ocean. First thing that may happen, you're going to drown. Second thing, you may find false shores. You'll deviate. You find something else more interesting. Third thing, you may maintain the externals of a very wonderful Vaishnavi. But within the heart, there's only emptiness. There's nothing there. The externals are wonderful, but within the heart, nothing's happening. It's empty. So this is one way that we can deal with this journey we have to take, our next step towards going back to Krishna. Another way that we can do it is to think, I will succeed. I know the power of Ekadasi Brata. I will chant extra rounds in Ekadasi. I will do Nijala. I'll be very nice in my dealings with the devotees. I'll do everything perfectly. I will do everything perfectly. There's a real sense of doership, a real sense of controllership. Now this is like holding the fist tight. How long can we hold our fist tight? Sooner or later we get tired, don't we? What do we have to do? Oh, okay. So again, four things can happen. First, we may drown. Second thing, may find false shores, deviate. Third thing, we look wonderful on the outside, empty on the inside. But then there's a fourth thing with this one. We may be graced to cross the ocean. We may pass Nista, Ruchi, Ashakti. We may even come to Bhava. First stage of pure love of God. We may come to this point. Now there's one problem. There is one party you cannot gate crash. You know whose party that is? Whose party can we not gate crash? Radha Gopinath's. To enter Radha Gopinath's party is by invitation only. You cannot gate crash. No chance. So you may have wasted many, many lives being very, very passionate, very, very strong, very, very determined in your devotional service. You get all the way to Bhava and you can't go any further. Because you've developed no friends, you've developed no shelter. There's no one there to invite you to prem. How heartbreaking. All this endeavor, and we're stuck. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of our greatest acharyas, tells us that we can be stuck at this platform for many, 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 many births. How many of us want to waste that amount of time? Now, another way that we can do this is to do it Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way. So I've suggested three ways that we can do it. How many think the first way is the best way? Mechanical, unconscious. Put your hand up if you're in favor of this one. Okay, none of us are going to be tricked into doing it this way. What about the second one? How many of us like this one? How many of us think the best way to do it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way? Oh, some people have a fourth way? Not everybody's putting up their hand. Okay, but most of us feel that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way of doing it is the best way. Yes? I'm sorry? The second one is where we feel that by our own endeavor, we're going to succeed. We may be doing everything perfectly Krishna consciously, doing all the right things, behaving correctly with all the devotees, everything there. But the primary thing that's happening is that we are thinking, I am the doer, I am the controller, by my endeavor, I'm going to succeed. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has a different idea. And the thing that attracts me most to doing things his way is that it's the surest, safest, and least problematic way. So what is his way? His way is to be a conscious cooperator. Be a conscious cooperator. Now, with the first example we saw, the person's unconscious. Where's the question of cooperating if you're unconscious? The second one is very conscious. He's not cooperating. I'm going to do it my way. The third one says, no, let's do it Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way. Let's cooperate. Now, most of us, from looking at the audience, most of us are in the situation of being a wife or being a daughter in the house, isn't it? So we have quite some experience of what it means to be a conscious cooperator. Does it mean we have to be humble? Does it mean we have to be tolerant? Does it mean we have to show respect to other people in the house? Does it mean that quite often there's no respect shown to us? We have a big party for our 8-year-old child. Wonderful, wonderful party. All the friends are very happy. They go home, there's a big mess. Who cleans it up? It's mom, isn't it? So we can understand that these qualities, they make sense. If we're going to be a conscious cooperator, these qualities make sense. So what I want to do today, to help us be conscious, to help us to be a cooperator, is to explore what these qualities mean, what this third verse of Sikshastika actually means. We all know this verse, but still I'm going to give you a copy of it, but I'm also going to give you something else at the same time. I'm going to give you an elaboration of this wonderful, wonderful verse by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And by reading it, I'm sure we'll have far, far greater understanding of what it really means. Perhaps we can have one devotee hand out one set and another devotee to hand out the second. Thanks very much. So in relation to this verse, Srila Prabhupada says in one of his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one who follows this direction of Sikshastika 3, being freed from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches a platform of loving service to the personality of Godhead. So there are very good reasons for us to do things this way. So, Simanjari Mataji, who would you suggest read the Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayer? Who would you suggest read this? Please take the mic. Read first Mahaprabhu's and with the translation, and then read the whole of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's.
Trinadapi sunichena tarorivasahishnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, one who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. One who follows this direction
being freed from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service to the personality of Godhead. Bhaktivedanta Purport, CC Adi 8.16.
Thank you. Now read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's elaboration on Sikshastaka 3. 1. If your mind is always absorbed in chanting the glories of Lord Krishna with great care, then by that process of Sri Krishna Kirtan, you will attain transcendental qualification. Number 2. You should give up all false pride and always consider yourself to be worthless, destitute, lower and more humble than a blade of grass. 3. You should practice forgiveness like that of a tree and giving up violence towards other living beings. You should protect and maintain them. 4. In the course of passing your life, you should never give anxiety to others, but rather do good to them while forgetting about your own happiness. 5. When one has thus become a great soul, possessing all good qualities, one should abandon all desires for fame and honor and make one's heart humble. 6. Knowing that Lord Krishna resides within all living creatures, one should with great respect constantly show honor to all beings. 7. By possessing these four qualities, humility, mercifulness, respect towards others, and the renunciation of desires for prestige, one becomes virtuous. In such a state, you may sing the glories of the Supreme Lord. 8. Weeping Bhaktivinoda submits his prayer at the lotus feet of the Lord. O Lord, where will you give me the qualification for possessing attributes such as this? Gitavali.
What I would like you to do now is to take 2 minutes and to read this elaboration by Bhaktivinoda by yourself as an independent exercise, and just highlight with a pen or pencil, whatever you have, what is of significance to you, what is of importance to you at this point in time, what strikes you as something worth remembering. Just take 2 minutes to read it through. What we've found in the reading of this prayer that we find is useful to us, worth remembering, worth trying to implement. Who would like to start with this sharing?
This give up false pride, consider yourself worthless, practice forgiveness, do good to others while forgetting about your own happiness, abandon all desires for fame and honor and make one's heart humble. Knowing that Lord Krishna resides within all living creatures, one should with great respect consistently show honor to all living beings. Especially the 7th point, I feel it is a conclusion to all the above points. By possessing these 4 qualities of humility, mercifulness, respect towards others, and renunciation of desires for prestige, one becomes virtuous. In such a state, one may sing the glories of the Supreme Lord.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to share with us? Please.
Hare Krishna. In the first point, it is great care. Krishna is so important. He's so precious. I mean, if you are, like, Prabhuji had given an example. If you're counting notes, rupee note or dollar notes, I mean, you're so cautious about that you should not skip even one note because it is money. It means so much to you. So when you're taking his name, you have to take it with great care. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't chant so nicely, but this is what I've heard from seniors. You have to be very careful.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to? Please.
Hare Krishna. In
sixth point, the word consistently, what happens is usually that we know that there is Krishna in all living creatures and we have to respect them. But we most of the times tend to be moody. Means we don't have that consistency. Means all the times we are not that respectful. Sometimes we are respectful and most of the times we tend to be unrespectful also. That consistency is not there.
Okay, that's a very good point. Thank you.
Bhakti Vinod Thakur is weeping. Weeping Bhakti Vinod Thakur submits his prayers. When will you give me qualification? So we have to have that helpless condition. Cry out to Krishna in helplessness so that you may be able to honor the holy name.
Thank you.
In a very helpless condition.
The first point, if your mind is always absorbed in chanting the glories of Lord Krishna with great care, because the Hare Krishna means like we are asking the service, Krishna, like give me the service, please give me the service, like we are asking the service from Krishna. So that means we are becoming humble by asking the service. Because the holy name of this is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, please engage me in the service of the Lord. So, automatically all the qualities will come. So, the last point, weeping, Bhakti Vinoda submit this prayer at the lotus feet of Lord. So, we should have all that helpless condition, as Mataji said, for this qualification to acquire humility, merciful respect towards others and renunciation of desires.
Thank you. Anyone else like to add anything further? Hasn't been said? Okay. Now, this sounds very, very wonderful. But perhaps the mind says, my Guru Maharaj can do this, I can't. This is not for me. This is my Guru Maharaj's way of doing things. But we have to understand that if we want to make the next step on our journey back to Godhead, this has to become our mindset. This has to become our way of thinking, our way of doing. So what I would like to do now is a little exercise which will require three ladies who feel comfortable to speak into a microphone. And we're going to take the 10 offenses. We're going to look at the offense, the kind of mindset or the kind of mentality a person would have if they don't make this offense, and a prayer that can help us come to this position. So let's see how we go with this. We'll need more helpers. Put your hand out, this hand out. Maybe we can have a couple of girls to help because it'll make it a lot quicker. Yeah, thanks. And one more? Thank you very much. Then we can move more quickly. We'll leave that later. Fine. Okay. Now we have one lady sitting on the sofa here. Would you like to join her? We need three speakers. If you could care to join us. I dogged you in. Would you like to join also, Mataji? Please. Take the mic with you. Thank you very much. At this time, there are many New Age theories in vogue, even within ISKCON, and particularly in the area of transformational therapy. We need to transform ourselves. But the greatest therapist that I've found is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So we've entitled this Mahaprabhu's Transformational Therapy, an applicational mantra that guarantees defense against offense. We all know the importance of chanting without offense, So if we can somehow or other imbibe this mantra in our hearts and lives, it will make life so easy for us. So we'd like, who would like to, out of the three ladies who are sitting on the couch, who would like to read the offense? Okay, the middle lady will read the offense. What was your good name? Sima, thank you. And would you like to read the defense and you read the prayer? Okay? So read it quite slowly and clearly so that we can meditate on it as we move along. Let's start with first offense.
First offense, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord.
Defense, a devotee who is sincerely trying to apply Sikshastaka third in his life considers himself insignificant, fallen and in need of mercy. Therefore, he will not be concerned with the faults of other devotees, nor blaspheme or envy them.
Prayer. When will Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu show his causeless mercy to me by allowing me to attain the shade of lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas? When will I be able to give up this false ego, so deeply engrossed in sense gratification, and be able to properly honor them? Bhakti Vinoda prays unto the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. O dear devotees, please be merciful and take this worthless person into your association. Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
So here I have written your prayer. We won't be doing anything in this regard in this session, but it's to make you mindful that sometimes we have a difficulty with a particular offense. So it is helpful to write our personal prayer for dealing with that. So that's what we're indicating here. Let's move on to the second offense.
Second offense, to consider the name of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu.
Defense, he never mistakes the position of the demigods because he knows that all living entities, including the demigods, are insignificant parts and parcels of his beloved Krishna. They are his eternal servants and can grant no blessing without his sanction.
Prayer. O my dear mind, maintaining polite respect for the demigods, worship only Lord Hari. All the demigods are the dear friends of one who has actual devotion to Hari.
Third offense, to disobey the order of the spiritual master or to consider him an ordinary person.
Defense, he will not act against the orders of the spiritual master because he is painfully aware that he possesses neither the transcendental power nor the intelligence to go back to Krishna independent of Guru's mercy and shelter.
Prayer. O friend, make the teachings from the lotus mouth of your spiritual master one with your heart and do not desire anything else. Attachment to the lotus feet of the spiritual master is the best means of spiritual advancement. By his mercy, all desires for spiritual perfection are fulfilled.
Fourth offense, to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version.
Defense, being painfully aware of his lack of realized knowledge, he studies humbly in the mood of a disciple the holy writings of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas.
Prayer. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my dear companion, O my teacher, O my greatest wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my heartfelt obeisances unto you. O Srima SG is
Sanatan Goswami.
Yes, Sanatan Goswami. O my Lord, O most compassionate personality,
Your two divine lotus feet are beautifully decorating the summit of all the scriptures. And when those lotus feet in turn decorate the heads of all the spiritual masters coming in the line of disciplic succession, then their beauty and splendor increases 100-fold. Seeing this truth, my heart has become fully satisfied. Bhakti Vinota.
Fifth offense. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be an imagination.
As a result of his offenseless mentality, he has actually experienced something of the potency of the holy name. Therefore, he never considers his glories to be imaginary.
Prayer. All glories to the holy name, the storehouse of the nectar of divine bliss, who is none other than the Supreme Truth, Sri Krishna. To shower mercy on his devotees, he has descended in the form of sound, bestowing compassion on all. O eternal Harinama, you possess all powers and bestow auspiciousness upon the jivas. Coming only for our deliverance, you are the sole friend who can rescue us from the ocean of birth and death. All glories to you.
Sixth offense. To give some mundane interpretation on the holy name of the Lord.
Defense. Fixed in being a humble servant of the holy name, he has some realization of Nama Tattva and therefore never makes the mistake of whimsically interpreting the holy name.
Prayer. O holy name of Krishna, you are transcendentally blissful. You bestow all spiritual benedictions for you are Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. O holy name, you are the complete and the form of all transcendental mellows. You are not a material name under any condition, and you are no less powerful than Krishna himself. All glories to you. Rup Goswami.
Seventh offense. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name.
Defense. Identifying with the mood of Sikshashtaka 3, he does not so strongly identify with the body, nor with the desire to be materially happy or enjoy this world. Hence, his tendency towards sinful activity is minimal, as is his interest in abusing the holy name.
Prayer. O my Lord Hari, I am guilty of committing thousands upon thousands of sins, and so I have fallen into the belly of a terribly deep, dark and fearsome ocean of material existence. There is absolutely no shelter for me in this hellish place, and so I take shelter of your lotus feet. Please be kind to me and claim me as your own. Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Eighth offense. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, Karma Kanda.
Defense. He chants absorbed in the meaning of the Mahamantra, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your loving service. And so, there is no possibility of his committing this apradh.
Prayer. O my dear mind, what can I say to you now? With high hopes of future happiness, I fell into the trap of fruitive actions and reactions, and now I am entangled in Maya's spider-like web. I am being destroyed by my own nonsense. How much trouble I have suffered because I failed to seriously worship the beautiful lotus feet of Hari. Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Ninth offense. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name.
Defense. He realizes that the holy name is the most precious gift he can give anyone, because the holy name is Krishna. He therefore takes the responsibility of introducing Nama to his rebellious servants very seriously, and does so very carefully and sensitively. To instill faith in the faithless, he always encourages Nam Sankirtan.
Prayer. Please tell me, when will the day be mine? When will my offenses come to an end and taste for the pure holy name be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace. When will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me and free me from the illusion of worldliness? When will he give me the shade of his lotus feet and bestow upon me the qualification to enter the marketplace of the holy name? Bhakti Vinod.
10th offense. To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter.
Defense. He is always endeavoring to improve his chanting of the holy name, to weed out anarthas and avoid namaparad. And so the holy name is pleased to bless him with strong faith and natural detachment from I, me and mine and matter.
Prayer. O merciful Lord, all that I am and have I now offer at your lotus feet. I no longer consider even myself to be mine, for now I have become exclusively yours. The false conception of thinking in terms of I and mine has finally left me. May it never again find a place to settle within my heart. Bhaktivinoda.
So this is giving us some idea of the mentality we need to develop. Of course, the mind will say, no, this has got nothing to do with me. But the point is that if we want to continue progressively in Krishna consciousness, we have to change our mindset. So I would humbly suggest that you sometimes read through these prayers and take strength from them. I find personally that when we have a weakness of heart, we have some difficulty, and we find a very beautiful prayer by the Acharyas, and we repeat that prayer. We pray to that Acharya, please, let this quality develop in my heart. Then we start to see that we think differently, we act differently, our quality, the way we value things changes, like that. It works. So I humbly ask you to try this as an experiment. Especially look where you have a weakness, where you have a real challenge. It may be with Vaishnava Aparad, maybe with relating to the scripture. So many things may be there. We're all individuals, we have our different challenges. But just be a little introspective and see how we can benefit from this kind of exercise. Now I'd like to turn to another very important aspect of proper attitude towards chanting of the holy name. How many of us, when it comes time to chanting, we pick up our beads, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Some of us are laughing, I think we can identify with that. Isn't this very impersonal, very harsh, very mechanical? Would we treat any other friend like that? Would we? Would we treat any other friend like that? Something to think about, isn't it? Why do we treat this friend who we've decided is our best friend, why do we treat him like that? So what I would like to do now is a little bit of practical work, because it's always the practice that makes a difference, to explore a way of doing things that is more in tune with Mahaprabhu's Shikshastika 3. We're going to have a look at a whole different format for chanting our japa.
We have two sheets to hand out here.
Perhaps we can have two devotees handing out these ones and two devotees handing out these. Thanks. Okay. Two devotees help you with that. Thanks very much. Do you have yourself? So what we're looking at here is a whole system of reforming our japa. Before beginning your japa session, I'm sorry, you don't have a sheet? Okay, fine. Okay, everyone has? Before beginning your japa session, remember your Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, the disciplic succession, and offer prayers to them. We have an asterisk here that tells us his information at the end of the page, which is very interesting. Simply by remembering the spiritual master, the devotees of the Lord, and the personality of Godhead, one invokes their benediction, destroys all difficulties, and very easily fulfills his own desires. One receives 100th portion of the religious merit, punya phal, of an elevated person just by thinking of him. Just by thinking of someone, you're gaining benefit. Isn't that amazing? So we should take advantage of this, isn't it? Now, there are some beautiful prayers that I've mentioned. I don't want to deal with those this evening because I have other plans in mind. But I want to stress a little bit about the importance of remembering certain personalities before we begin chanting. Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada. Of course, we are most grateful to these two great personalities. But why is it important to remember their lotus feet? Of course, we've just read two very good reasons to remember them. But also, we have to understand, and we can understand it from their pranam mantra, that they are very dear to Krishna because they have taken full shelter at his lotus feet. We also can become very dear to Krishna by taking shelter at his lotus feet. So we can pray at the beginning of our japa, "Oh my beloved Gurudev, oh my beloved Prabhupada, you are so dear to Krishna because you've taken full shelter at their lotus feet. I also want to take full shelter. You please help me." We all know that someone who's expert, they can help us through that same thing, expertly. So we can use it here. Now the second group of people that I would like us to take shelter of is the six Goswamis. This is why I've given you this yellow sheet. This is a very simple but beautiful prayer to the six Goswamis and then to Rupa Goswami. Now we may immediately say, "Oh, come on, I'm a lady. Why do I have to take shelter of the six Goswamis? That's for the brahmacharis and sannyasis." No, no, no. The six Goswamis' mercy is for everyone. They're very, 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 very powerful in overcoming obstacles. Let's read their prayer together. Shirup Saratam Bhata Raghunath Shijiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunath Echai Gosai Kori Charana Vandan Yahai Te Vignana Sabhista Paran Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Inabhutale Svayam Rupakara Mayam Dadati Svabhanvikam. So here, we are praying to them for their shelter, and we're admitting that just by offering you my obeisances, all obstacles to devotion are destroyed and all spiritual desires are fulfilled. Now, as mothers, do we sometimes not experience obstacles like being exhausted by the time we get up in the morning? Our three-year-old child has been ill all night. We've been up all night. The eight-year-old child has to go to school at 7. We have to get up. We want to chant our rounds. We feel like we have the strength to do it. No. So don't be absorbed in, "I can't do this, I'm so tired. Why did I ever become a mother? Oh." Don't think like that. No, say, "Okay, I need the mercy of the Goswamis. I need their mercy." Now you may doubt that I know what I'm speaking about. That's okay. but I'll read from Chaitanya Charitamrita about this. Now, at the time of Krishnadas Kaviraj writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wasn't a young man. He was asked by the residents of Vrindavan, very elevated souls, to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was benedicted by Radha Madan Gopal. But still he felt, I can't do this. How many of us have felt in the morning when we wake up, I can't do this. I really can't do it. I'm too tired. I can't manage this. I'm sick. My kids are sick. Huh? We ever had that experience? His experience was he was over 90 years of age. He was almost blind. He was arthritic. When he tried to hold, and it wasn't a simple pen that we could get a good grasp on in those days, it was a peacock feather. When he tried to hold that, his hand was shaking so much he could hardly even hold the pen, let alone write a word. So let's see who he prayed to when he had this task to do, and he thought, I can't do it. I pray to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath, so that all impediments to my writing this literature will be annihilated, and my real desire will be fulfilled. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated, and our desire for the transcendental devotional service of the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. So we want to chant, but sometimes it's just so tough. We've had a bad night. We've been at a late night program. You were up till 12 o'clock last night. Was it easy to chant your rounds this morning? So when we're in that circumstance, remember those three kinds of people that can chant. And remember who's successful. It's the one who wants to do things Mahaprabhu's way. Now, why is it so important to do things Mahaprabhu's way? We've discussed many reasons, but two reasons we didn't discuss. I'll mention them now. One is that we are very, very tiny. We are very, very tiny. We were once a very beautiful person engaged in loving service to Radha Gopinath. In our self-envy, we have reduced ourselves to the size of 1/10,000th of a tip of a piece of hair. So, so tiny. So insignificant. What power do we have to overcome all these obstacles? How can we do it alone? We can't do it alone. And as we discovered, the person who tries in his passion, I will do, even in that mood, it won't succeed. So when we're chanting, before we begin our chanting, take shelter. Take shelter. Admit, I can't do it. Only with your help can I do it. If you try this, your chanting will undergo a revolution. I can guarantee it. Now, the second reason that we don't try and do it this way is explained by this little thing I have in my hands here. It makes absolutely no sense to you. What is this mad woman talking about? But I'll explain. Last couple of days, I've been chanting late in the afternoon on your little beach here. Now, there we find that we have sand, we have water, and we have the meeting place of the two. Now, where is the most disturbance? Where is the most activity? In the depths of the ocean, on the sand, or where the two meet? Where is it most active? Excuse me? Can't hear you. Where the two meet. Okay. Now, this is called Tathasta Shakti, or the marginal energy of the Lord. The ocean side, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu side, the ocean of devotion, this is called the internal energy, Bahiranga Shakti. And the beach side, which we're so used to feeling comfortable, yes, I'm safe, yes, no problems, this is called the external energy, Antaranga Shakti. Now, which one are we? We're this one. We're here. We experience life as always change, always disturbance, isn't it? No steadiness, no peace. Now, because we're marginal energy, we have to make a decision. We have to make a conscious decision as devotees. I want to take shelter of the internal energy. I want to take shelter of those who are firmly fixed there. Isn't it? Otherwise, because for millions and millions and millions of births, we've been taking shelter this side, if we don't make a conscious choice, the mind will automatically bring us back here. Isn't it? So we have to make a conscious choice to take shelter when we chant, to take shelter when we perform our daily duties, our devotional service. Then we're protected. So the people that are so loving and so caring and so willing to offer us shelter, the six Goswamis, we tend to think of Goswami as that person over there in the orange. But these Goswamis, especially Sanatan Goswami, he was in the villages. He'd be walking between villages. He'd talk to the people about their family problems. He'd talk to them about which crops to plant. He'd talk to them about how to get their daughters married. He'd talk to them about arranging marriages, how to deal with their children when they're mischievous. So many things he would discuss. Why can't we approach these people? Why not? I tell you quite frankly, in my years as a devotee, I have counseled many, 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 many devotees in many variegated situations. And I can tell you quite frankly, I've decided that the most austere, demanding ashram is Grihastha ashram. Doesn't it take the qualities of a Goswami to be up all night with a sick child and then to have to get up with after 1 hour, half an hour's rest and prepare everybody else for school and work? Doesn't that take the qualities of a Goswami? So please, take shelter of those who can help you become fully fixed as a Goswami. Wonderful. Another person that is very powerful to take shelter of before we begin our japa, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva. I'd like to give you some reasons why it's a very good idea to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over mountains and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. This is not beautiful poetry. I mean, it is beautiful poetry, but it's far more than beautiful poetry. It's a reality. By taking shelter of Patita Pavana, what is impossible for us in our day-to-day life becomes possible. Very few years ago, I was on my deathbed twice. I had two strokes. The second stroke left my right side quite incapacitated. Who was the therapist that I turned to? I'm reading about him right now. And you can see for yourself my situation now. Does his therapy work? What do we think? We have living proof. Another reason, and this is one of my favorites. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just simply remembering, is that difficult to do? Is it difficult to remember somebody? So simply by remembering him, very difficult things become easy to execute. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always, not sometimes, always pleased to accept anything given with faith and love by his devotees, and is always ready to bestow mercy upon them. So wonderful to have a connection with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, as Prabhupada tells us, when we're talking about Mahaprabhu, automatically we're talking about the Panchatattva. So they also could help us a great deal just by remembering them. By remembering the lotus feet of the Panchatattva, a dumb man can become a poet, a lame man can cross mountains, and a blind man can see stars in the sky. So what I'm suggesting is that before we begin our japa, instead of just grab the bead bag, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, no! Take the time. Remember Gurudev. Remember Srila Prabhupada. Remember the six Goswamis. Remember Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva. And don't just remember them, pray to them. Pray to them for their shelter. Pray to them for their mercy. If you're having a very bad day, perhaps your health is bad, disturbances in the house, so many things can be there, exam results, exams to study for, so many things. You may even want to do that in between rounds. You may not even want to do it just at the beginning. You may want to do it at the beginning of every round. You try it. When you've had a really tough night or a tough day, you try it and see the result. Very powerful. Okay, so we have some other very beautiful prayers that are here, but what I would like us to do for the next 5 minutes is try this as an active exercise. We may not have our beads with us, that doesn't matter. What I want us to do is to take the time to pray and then begin chanting. When the mind becomes a little disturbed, take it back to one of those personalities we're taking shelter of. You may be chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, everything is wonderful. Half an hour later, the body's feeling a bit tired, the legs are aching. Hare Krishna. Have you had that experience of falling asleep? Okay, and somebody will wake you up or you wake yourself up. Okay, I'm not the body. I'm taking shelter of Sanatana Goswami. I'm taking shelter of the six Goswamis. I need all their help. Do it. Huh? When you have that problem, when you fall asleep, don't just wake up and try again. Remember, we can't do it by our own endeavor. Oh, I'm feeling sleepy. I better take shelter of Gurudev. I better take shelter of Mahaprabhu. He's the one that makes the impossible possible. I better take shelter of him. Okay? So let's try this. We'll try it until 10 to 6. So keep an eye on the time. But I want you first to pray to each of these people, Prabhupada, Gurudev, six Goswamis, Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, and then to just start chanting loudly. And whenever there's a disturbance in the mind, gets drawn away, bring it back by remembering, by praying. Please help me, Rupa, please help me. Okay? I need your mercy, I can't do this alone. Okay, shall we try? How did you find that? Was it helpful? Not sure yet? You try at home. If you find that you don't have the good fortune to chant in the association of the devotees in the temple regularly, you may want to have a very beautiful lamination of the six Goswamis, as well as Gurudev and Prabhupada when you chant. And also you have most beautiful Gonitai, so you can be praying to them also. I personally bought two very beautiful six Goswami laminations from the gift shops. I know they have them available, so you may like to check on that. I'd like to ask one very practical question. Would anyone be inconvenienced if this session goes on till about 6:15, 6:20? Would that be a problem? Okay, great. Because I really don't want to rush what we're doing, because I can see that you're very serious in trying to make friends with the Holy Name. So this is an introduction of the way we should start our chanting session. If we chant our rounds in two sessions, maybe we can't chant them all at once, especially as a mother. So we may want to start in this prayerful way both times that we start, or however many times sessions it takes. Each time, take the trouble and the time to pray, to take shelter first. The mind will scream, you know you only have limited time for your rounds. Why are you wasting so much time praying? But it's worth it. Because if you can chant concentrated, heartfelt rounds, why settle for less? Isn't it? So this is a way that we can begin our japa. During our japa, next side of the sheet, we all find that the mind disturbs us when we chant. So we can use the same personalities that we just mentioned in this session also. Or sometimes the mind is extremely stubborn. We may need to give it a good hard slap. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that you cannot move a buffalo with a peacock feather. Very true. So we need a stick. So the first two prayers that are here, they are like sticks in the form of prayer that we may like to use. O fool! O rascal mind! This body is under constant attack from innumerable attachments and diseases, and death is certain. What remedial measures have you taken? Just drink the medicine of Krishna's name, which is a cure for all diseases. And the next one? O mind, why are you giving up the nectar of Krishna's names to talk of such things as family problems, security, and all? What can I say to you? Just chant the holy name. So these also may become favorite mantras for us. If we have a mind that's a little unruly, we can use these, as well as depend on those personalities who don't have this problem. Now I'd like to look at how we end our japa session. We don't want to deal roughly with the holy name. We've understood that he is our best friend. At least theoretically we understand that. We want to deal with him properly. So in any dealings with a friend, if a friend comes for lunch at your place, you greet them at the door. Do you just drag them by the hand, sit them down, feed them, and put them out the door? Do you do that? Will they stay your friend for very long if you did that? No. So we're inviting Krishna in. We greet him. We pray to him. Then we spend some time with him. And then we very nicely, very sweetly say goodbye. Isn't it? Isn't that the way you treat a friend? So let's see how we can do that in terms of our japa. So one thing that is very powerful is that when you finish your japa, even if you haven't finished your 16, perhaps you have only a half an hour in the morning where you can chant before you have to do other chores. At the end of that half an hour of chanting, offer the result of that chanting to the holy name. Offer them to the feet of the holy name. And you tell him, I'm really sorry for the quality of my rounds. I know they've been offensive. I know they've been inattentive. But still, it's the best I can do at this time. So please accept this small gift. Please accept it. And please empower me. Please bless me so that next time I sit down to be with you, I can do it in a better way. Okay? There are some very beautiful prayers by our acharyas also. I commit thousands of offenses day and night, O Madhusudan, but please think of me as your servant and kindly forgive them. O Lord of my heart, please hear my prayer. You are the Supreme Lord. Please do not reject me. Even if I commit offenses, still you are my only protector. Please give me some insignificant service and consider me your own servant. Then what do? We offer our heartfelt obeisances. Remember, we don't want to be mechanical. We don't want to be unconscious. We want things to be heartfelt. So we offer our heartfelt obeisances. Who to? To Nam Prabhu, to Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master. We've been taking short of the six Goswamis and Panchatapa or Gonitai, also to them. And then we can begin our blissful day of service. So this is just some idea of a way that we can approach the holy name that will ensure that we don't lose his friendship. Nothing worse than to be given a very good friend and to lose him, isn't it? Can you imagine the pain of that? And is it always possible to mend that broken relationship? Not always. So let's not risk it. Let's do the best we can. So what I would like to do now, we mentioned certain people that are very helpful in giving us shelter, giving us strength. There is another person that is, I see her as almost like a nurse. Many of us may not be able to keep Tulsi Devi in our homes for various reasons, but it's so important to have her mercy. This is mentioned so many times by Srila Prabhupada in his purports. We see from the example of Haridas Thakur, even a prostitute was transformed by the mercy of two things, the holy name, Tulsi Devi, and the association of a great Vaishnava. So we have prostituted ourselves to the material energy. We're in such a terrible condition, actually. So we are in need of good nursing. So I'd like to offer you a first-class nurse. This nurse, you don't have to water. You don't have to worry about bugs. You may not have time for those things. And she's very, very merciful. Her name is Brinda Devi. We pray to her every morning, isn't it? She can help us so much. So in a moment, I'd like us to share these. Also, I thought we may be in need of a bit of tonic. We're a bit flat. So in this little, I call this my Prabhupada packet and paper bag. It's always got something very interesting in it. So what I would like you to do, we're going to hand this round while we have a kirtan. I'd like you to take one packet of this kind of tonic. This is from Sri Radhasham Sundar in Vrindavan. And one packet that looks like this. This is from Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. So these you can choose with your hands and eyes and all these things that we have. But you'll also find in here some little pink slips. These are a series of very, very beautiful names, prayers to the holy name. Now, when you're choosing this, I don't want you to be the doer. I want you to consciously pray to the Lord of your heart. Please give me the prayer that will most help me now. Please give me the prayer that will most help me now. Okay? Tulsi Manjari Mataji, who do you think would be able to lead a kirtan for this session while this is happening? Okay, fine. So we need someone who would like to be the mercy carrier of this bag. You'd like to do that? Thank you very much. Just go around to all the devotees. And someone who will be the mercy carrier for this one? Thank you very much. So while this is going on, we'll keep a nice mood by having a little kirtan.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
with the holy name. We started with many questions, and I'd like to finish with one. And please think about it carefully before you indicate. I'm inspired to do another session with you. I have some other things I'd like to share that I feel would be very useful. I'll give you 1 minute to think about it. How many of us would like to do another session next Friday? Okay, wonderful. And many people were late today. Was that because we have the habit of being late? Or is it because 4 o'clock is too early? Oh, there's a seminar in here? Uh-huh. Arata Duti Prabhu? Okay. Other days I'll be giving other seminars. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday. Excuse me? Oh, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Aha. 9 to 4. Okay. Okay. Whereabouts? Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Until 4 o'clock. Okay, we can check on that. So how many people would like to have another session next week, next Friday? Okay. And who would prefer 4 to 6? Who would prefer 5 to 7? 4 to 6 is better, huh? Okay. So I've spoken to Radha Dutti Prabhu. He said it shouldn't be a problem. So next Friday, 4 to 6, we'll have a second session together where we can share more ideas on how to make friends with the holy name. Krishna, Manjari Mataji has very kindly arranged prasad for us. So we'll be taking that outside, but perhaps our wonderful Kirtaniya can lead the prasadam prayers.